This is RSVMB Update, episode 467, recorded Friday, May 30th, 2014. Microsoft Demons. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to us once again. As always, Shane12088 here to bring in this RSVMB update episode to the landing strip, or maybe, in the case of this week's update, into the deep chasm of Daemon High. So, how are you doing this week?
I have been doing something nonstop all week during my free time.
Yeah, we've noticed. That's called dungeoneering, and that's what this week's update actually pertains to.
Yes! I saw the update, and I was like, I fell in love. Again.
Well, it's good at least one of us did, because I'm rather on the fence still as
well,
as to what I think of dungeoneering, but this week's update is all for you.
If you say so. So, anyway,
through it. Tell me why this update is so good and why people need to be concerned about it.
Oh, as someone who actually goes into the dungeon, I like the update. It made some tweaks and fixes that I thought were good to have. So anyway, a couple things about the new dungeoneering update is they've introduced a new resource dungeon that has a monster that drops new weapons, and it has lots of gem rocks in the area. There are new scrolls to help you with your everyday skilling. You can pay to skip floors if you're high enough. There's some new pets and sinkhole improvements. Minor improvement.
Let's start off at the top then with the resource dungeon.
Okay, the resource dungeon. So, in the Frim camp, near the Daemonheim Peninsula, there's a new resource dungeon. And you can only get in there at level 90 dungeoneering, and there's a lot of new demons in it. Inside are gem rocks. These gem rocks, you can actually mine everything, mostly from ruby all the way up to onyx gemstones.
Wow. What level do you need?
Oh, wait, no. The Dragonstone, sorry.
Oh, okay. You got me a little bit excited there.
No, those things, the demons drop the onyx stones, not this one.
Okay.
Not the gem box.
So tell us about the demons that you find in this dungeon, then.
Well, the demons aren't that, well, they're more of a slayer creature, so you need 90 plus slayer to actually get assigned to them, but you don't have to have demons are given to you if you are level 90 plus slayer assignments, although they can't be killed without any slayer level requirements, which I thought was kind of an oxymoron. Why would we bother killing it if we don't have an assignment for them?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think I know where you're going with this. You're basically going to say is that why would you kill anything in RuneScape these days if you didn't have an assignment for it?
No, some people will kill it just to train or whatnot, but kind of weird that you need 90 plus slayer to be assigned them, but then you don't need any slayer level to kill them. So, okay, I can be level 1 slayer and kill these. What's to stop me? I guess it wouldn't be because you need 90 dungeoneering to get there in the first place.
Yeah, so did you kill any of them, or...?
Unfortunately, I did not. I did not have a chance to go kill them. Although I did look into them and see what they dropped and everything else. They actually dropped a new Ceridomen gear. It's
really?
A full range set. Yeah, I was showing you is they dropped a whole Ceridomen gear that is a range set that is around level 60. And the interesting part about this, it's actually a weapon that has a bonus damage while fighting demons.
Huh.
Yeah, so when I was
Kind of an upgraded Darklight then, I guess you would say. Maybe.
This one's range-based, though. Not a...
Right.
This one's range-based, not melee-based.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, the Darklight is rather useless because it really doesn't have anything really powerful with it. What it does also drop is that there are a couple of new battle commendations that can put as a new title, but you have to kill a specific boss to get them. How good that is, it's up to you.
So,
but anyway,
how do the battle commendations relate to the demons in the dungeon?
I don't know. I didn't go into there. Judging from what I see, I think it's kind of like one of the dungeoneering boss at the end.
Oh, okay.
It has a very similar feature to it. So what I'm looking at the features here, and they really look like one of the dungeoneering bosses that's inside.
All right.
Yeah. And it drops ashes, which is always good for training prayer.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at some of the other drops on here right now. You said you didn't go fight any of these. They look relatively decent. Runes, as other demons do. Fire talismans, noted. That's always good for summoning. The odd clue scroll, the Ceridoman gear that you mentioned, and some herb stuff. But there's also an item called a lost set of tokens, which apparently can be converted for 10,000 dungeoneering tokens. So we got droppable dungeoneering tokens now.
Oh, let's consider rare. God knows why. And the monster, let me see. What's the monster? Monster level is 180. Melee base, no known weakness.
That's not too bad. I mean, it's always nice to see things that are relatively high level, you know, just to give people something other to fight than, say, the generic QBD or Kalphi King. So that's nice to see. Okay, I see how the battle commendation works. You need to have fought the boss in Dungeoneering, and then once you come out, you can fight this thing and get the combination to get the title. That makes sense. So what about what about the gem rocks? Did you mine any of those?
I didn't really mine any. I was just reading up on it. You need level 50 mining to get it. It's a special type of rock that can get several types of gems while mining. And let's see. And obviously we were thinking about this, and like wearing a Ring of Wealth and Amulet Glory does give you a higher chance of mining better rocks. Ring of Wealth is supposed to double the gems that you receive, and it's a good place to test it out with a new gem bag.
Ah, okay. So what about that?
Gem bag is one of the new areas, new items that they've introduced into the game. It upgraded it from 30, I believe, up to 60. Is that correct on the first one?
I think so. That sounds right.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's basically a nice, really good way to put all your gems that's in it. And, you know, anyone who actually does slaying is actually a very handy item to have, especially after the Slayer update a few months back.
Right, because that way then you just pick these gems up and you don't need to worry about dropping them. You just put them in the bag and off you go. But also good for crafting on the other side of the coin. Very good.
Doesn't really help, well, unless you're planning to just mass, actually, no, it doesn't really help that much with crafting, because you still have the inventory of gems, unless you want to turn them into bolts, which is, you're really killing a lot of money by doing it. Usually you really use that just for Slayer, and then just emptying it out into your bank as you dump it in. I got quite a few, I didn't realize how many rubies I had. I had roughly 40... almost 40 rubies and about 15 diamonds when I went slaying abyssal demons and whatnot the other night. It's like, wow. Okay. Actually, one of the other new scrolls that are in the game is the Scroll of Daemonhunt. It gives you a 50% chance to earn 5% extra XP in Dungeoneering while scaling in a Daemonhunt dungeon. It's not a lot. It's more of a way just to give you a little extra XP while you're doing it, and it's not really that much important. Don't know if it stacks with your bonus, but hopefully it does. And it doesn't hurt to get it. It's only about 20,000 tokens. Scroll of Proficiency gives you a chance to retain planks while using the construction skill. That's kind of obvious while you're training construction. save a little plank here and there. Although it might kind of screw with people considering the fact that you don't use up all 20. And
yeah,
you may
I was
end
thinking
up like having
that.
A little extra. But then again, you save a little bit of money, so you decide.
And you can, and like, the problem with that, though, is if you're just using the standard butler and you have a plank that you saved, the butler remembers how many you asked for last time. So when you're in the mode of constructing, it, at least I find, it becomes harder to enter in manual numbers each time. So to compensate for this, it could be a little bit annoying, but I guess if you're saving it over the long run, it's not too bad.
Well, remember, the butler only holds up to 20 at a time, so
yeah.
You have extra space. You'll have an extra, at least an extra 5. So in theory, you could easily just go and actually getting closer to 10, just ask one time, just use it up one right away.
All right. And dexterity.
It allows you to tame components while making armor with the crafting skill. It's really for those who are crafting dragon armor, dragonhide armor. Really no use for me, but I just grabbed it anyway.
Fewer between each and every day, I would assume, given how expensive that is.
Well, you think of, well, yeah, but most people are doing it. There's a reason they're so expensive. It ain't because they're fancy.
Yeah, it's definitely a hard ingredient to get, so you do want to save those as well, so it's nice to see that.
Yeah, so what was the other thing? They added it. This is for what was it? What's the monster called again? What's that dragon again that you have to stab? Corporeal beast. There you go.
Okay, corp beast.
The corporeal beast. Many people who are fighting it use a Zamorakian spear because it's weak to stab. They've added, you can actually put the chaotic spikes on the spear now, so that it can actually be considered a level 80 spear. However, do note that if you do use the spikes on the spear, it binds it more or less forever. It's no longer a Zam spear anymore. So it's good for those who are fighting corporeal beasts or final monsters that are very weak to stab.
Yeah, that's good. We have needed a level 80 stab weapon because all we have right
stab
is the rapier, if I remember correctly, and that's single handed. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
You can always dual wield.
Yeah, you could stab.
Hex Hunter bow has been increased. Stats have been increased inside the dungeons. So that's good for those who are training range. Bone Crusher, Charming Imp, and Herbicide are also considered a pocket slot items too.
This sounded
although we
very
did
bad.
Find out. Actually, when I was reading this, yes, you were afraid that you can use the two together. However, I went to test it out really quick, and you don't need to put the bone. At least you don't need to put the bone crusher into the pocket slot, unless it's a bug that they tend to fix next week. But you don't have to put it in so far. I guess it's just one little space that you can put it in to save an inventory spot.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't change because it just makes sense that if you're off, I don't know, maybe steel dragon hunting, you want to bone crush the dragon bones and collect the charms at the same time. If you couldn't do both at the same time, I think that would kind of defeat the purpose of this update, because you only being able to use one when they're both clearly combat items related to different skills, that would be bad. So let's just hope you're right that this is not a bug, and let's hope it doesn't get fixed.
Yes, there's also one other item called the Gold Accumulator. It automatically collects drop coins. You and I kind of were thinking about this for a long time now, haven't we?
We have been, but
although it's about 20, 40, and 60,000 tokens each time, it only collects up to 1 million coins. We don't really feel that, at least I don't really feel it's really necessary. I kind of feel that for all those tokens, you're better off just picking it up. And usually some monsters don't even drop good coin amounts anyway, so you wouldn't care.
What's the point in paying Dungeoneering tokens for something like that? If anything, an item like that should be a loyalty point reward. Because who are the people who are going to be collecting the most coins in-game? It's not the people who are out dungeoneering, it's the people who are out doing Slayer every day. And some of these people might not have taken a trip to Daemonheim yet, and they might have loyalty points to spend. That would have been a better place to put this item.
Well, think about it. With the gold accumulator, a lot of Slayer monsters require you to have a really decent dungeoneering level. Look at frost dragons and all the new demons. You need to have a Slayer level to actually get inside it. So, the gold accumulator for those kind of rewarding those who decide to go dungeoneering instead of paying the loyalty points. Albeit, there's really no use for me and you with it.
Yeah,
it's kind of useless. It's a useless item for us so far. But you do a sinkhole every day for a week. You have enough for it. Why not? You have enough tokens for it.
Yeah, I guess that's for one. True.
A couple of new pets are released. Frosty the Baby Dragon, Mini Blink, and Hope Nibbler. Ooh, Nibbler. I just noticed that.
Are you going to get any of
each
these?
Each one require. No, never really care for pets anyway. Some people do. I never care for pets.
All right.
And to help you find space, you can also update a menagerie up to 20, have 25 animals at the highest tier.
So now comes the part of the update where we're wondering if what we've seen so far is just the tip of the iceberg, or if, maybe we're looking for ways to add dungeoneering credit sinks. So tell us about floor skipping, why don't you?
Floor skipping, it's a way where you can actually pay tokens to skip a bunch of floors. And it can actually get pretty expensive. So this is really directed for the high-level dungeoneering people because they have so much to really spend off anyway. Some people actually do enjoy the skill chain. Usually what happens is with dungeoneering, you really do want to do the lower floors first, because you get a bit more experience with the ones above. However, one of the issues many people have is the fact that it is a little time consuming. It's usually better if you have a group of five, but getting a group of five that actually knows what they're doing is usually the hard part. Yes. Luckily for me, I managed to get a group that was actually good the first time around. Second time when this was released, I decided to give it a try, and I did. I checked every single one, and I found out if you wanted to skip floors 1 to 29, you need 237,075 tokens to skip all those floors from 1 to 29, which means you would just have abandons. You will have abandons, occult, and warp floors left to do.
And at that point, you could either purchase experience for that, or purchase a weapon if you don't have it, or purchase some new rewards. So do you think that skipping is something viable that the hardcore dungeoneers will use?
Oh yeah, they have more tokens that they can know how to get rid of. Before I decided to spy all my stuff, I dungeoneered so much this week that I literally accumulated over 1 million tokens. Now, those who have been in the dungeons for God knows how long, usually they'll spend it on dungeoneering XP with the little, with the lamps. Well, mm-hmm. the issue is, most people, there are plenty of people who have 120 or 119, and they just want to have, some dungeoneering fun or whatnot. And this, this is good for them to try and use it up. Most people have more than they know what to do with anyway. This is, but the thing about doing the lower floors is you do 1 to 29. It does take time. A good group can do it one floor in about a minute 30, depending on the boss. The issue is if when you're higher level, you kind of get annoyed when you get a little foolish people who pretend they know what they're doing, but they really don't. And so it's a way for them, like, I don't feel like spending an hour doing this. I'd rather just pay it off. Well, there you go. You can just pay it off. Although, do note, this is only for one run, so it's not every single time. You have to pay for this every single time you want to skip floors.
So, at the end of the day, how much time will it take you to earn that 237,000 tokens or whatever, do you think, at, I don't know, 105 Dungeoneering, if that's what you are?
Okay, well, let's see. So roughly, let me do a quick number crunch here. Roughly, it takes me at least 15 to 20 minutes per floor. Each one gives me around 100K XP. So I basically need to do 24s. So 15 minutes times 24s, it takes me about 300 minutes divided by 60, it takes me about 5 hours. Well, I guess maybe 6, because I didn't include the 30,000 tokens that you would need.
So I guess in your case, then, it's more economical to actually do the floors.
For some people, it is. If you have a group that actually knows how to do C1s properly, you can get all 29 floors done in under 1 hour.
Oh, okay.
But again, you have to get a group that actually, yeah, one is willing to stay for all 29. Usually people kind of will do 1 through 5 and then they'll leave. One person will leave and you can jump back up and you can try and get another group again. Some people are like, I don't feel like wasting my time. I'll just do this really quick.
So,
and, you know, you skip the annoying thing of waiting, you know, you're paying for the convenience. That's basically it.
Yeah. So my question to you is, will you ever use this yourself?
Right now, I probably won't use it that much. I didn't use it before just to see how much it would cost, how it works. And basically, you just talk to the recharge guy. You would just talk to him and say, I want to skip these floors, click the box, and then you're done. Still relatively low expensive, though. It would take, I have to do a lot of Dungeoneering to do it.
All right. Well, I think there's one more thing to talk about here, and that's the sinkholes. Basically, a couple of improvements to the sinkholes. There's a new ability where you can get a free random card upon starting a sinkhole. So you don't, I guess this would be for people who are maybe a tad slower, just want something else extra to play at the beginning. And also, if you do happen to run across into the Ibis card, you get a little hidden reward. Do you know what that reward is?
No, I do not. I haven't had one.
I found out today from our Twitter community. What'd you get? And the reward is the title, The Nobby. So you could be J1, J2, J3, The Nobby. Because, you know, everybody just likes the way that sounds, because it sounds like noob, right? I don't know what Nobby means, but people obviously have wanted that title for quite some time.
Okay. And yeah, so I got the reward for getting a free card. Doesn't hurt to have it. That's basically it. Couple little minor changes that they've added. Most notably, they added a timer to display how long you've been on a floor, which is actually very, very broken.
Oh, really?
No, it's broken. It's very broken. I was in one Dungeoneering floor. I know I was only there for like 15 minutes. It said I was in there for 3 hours, 14 minutes, 32 seconds. Like, right. And quite honestly, that thing is very bad for Dungeoneering, in my opinion. Because you get those elitists who have done Dungeoneering so much that they know every little trick in the book. Well, the problem is they kind of get annoyed when they're like, hey, it's 8 minutes. We're not even close to being done. What are y'all doing? I find that more annoying.
I could definitely see that being an issue.
But then again, since it's so broken, no one really knows how much time you actually been in there unless you actually keep the clock. So, yeah. That's kind of pointless. You can use surge and escape abilities in the dungeon. I actually found out that wasn't working once. I think it might help some people try and escape from it gets closer to a door or something. That's just me. Yeah, the new dungeon interface is, I like it. Instead of going through all the chat options, they just open a little interface and say, I want 5 people to go with me, and it's a large. Go. Done. All right. Less clicking to do.
Well, what is this?
New interface.
Oh, okay.
For when you're entering a dungeon.
Ah, gotcha. All right.
And they made some small improvements to the spike trap room. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, that
What
one's
happened
so
before?
amusing.
Actually, what happened before was just to examine if there's a trap. It took forever. They made it a little bit faster, and if you actually examine it correctly, it'll actually pop the trap this time. So, which is good. The trap actually comes up, and you know people don't get hurt. So they made that a little nice little touch.
All right, is there anything else that we need to mention regarding this massive Dungeoneering update?
I enjoy it. I like the new scrolls. 5% XP is, it goes a long way if you've been dungeoning forever and ever. I mean, I got over 1 million tokens over this week. I'm spent.
All right. Well, folks, there's your Dungeoneering update for the week, and if you haven't paid a visit to Daemonheim in quite some time, you probably should do that, even if it's just to do a sinkhole. I did that this week and had some pretty good benefits from that, and amongst a couple of other little things that I'll share with you all later. Okay, so moving on to the tweaks and fixes for this week, a couple of rather interesting things pertaining to the microtransaction side of the game. First things first, there's some new resting animations from Solomon's General Store. Are you going to be purchasing any of these? Or are you just happy with the standard, Zen rest or rest where you just sit down and cross your legs and have a rest?
I do the Zen rest. I don't really care too much about it. Was there any tweaks and fixes? I don't see it.
Yeah, they're mainly just in terms of that. Another one this week was also pertaining to if you have more than one prismatic or fallen star or lamp, you can convert them all into a chosen skill. So if you have like three of them and you convert one, it'll ask you if you want to convert the other ones as well. So that's nice.
Did
But
you
patch
try it?
note.
Did you try it?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's nice when you just get one and you want to convert the other one as well. But I think the main thing we ought to be thinking of here is that this is probably going to benefit people who purchase the treasure hunter keys the most, because that's when you're going to be getting a huge selection of these lamps and stars. But there are some good things in the patch notes, some things you and I talked about last week that seemed like a bit of an issue with the new combat abilities, specifically the blood tendrils. The animation no longer continues to play when a player dies or leaves a mini game. We noticed that. Charm transmutation has been made faster. It now converts 10 charms at a time. So, it might be interesting to see if there's any real way of using this to, train summoning now, seeing as in the amount of time it would take you to do 100, you or 10 previously, you can do 100 now. So maybe, I don't know. But once again, as we did the analysis, you will need to spend time gathering the charms and gathering the energy. But I still maintain that if you're looking at doing this for a one-off, you're fine.
Okay.
Also, in terms of blood tendrils, players who use the freedom ability will now have the blood tendrils effect removed if it was caused by another player. Freedom will not remove the negative effects from casting the blood tendrils ability on yourself. Didn't we notice that as well?
Yeah,
That
we were
free
using bye.
yeah, we were using freedom, but nothing was happening.
I thought it stopped the well.
It stopped the magic and ranged ones. It didn't stop the melee one.
Well, I was wondering about that, because I remember when I was hitting you with it, like, you kind of stopped getting hit, but when you're hitting me, it was like
Yeah.
we had to try a couple times. We were trying
Because
it a
I
couple
was using the
times.
melee one.
We had to try a couple times. However, lack of space and amount of people we were be able to hit kind of made it weird.
Yep. Mutated blood
What
velds have
else?
some drops that are noted now. Let's see what else is here. loop beam message will not be filtered, and there's a quick repair pouch option in the at the wizard in the runecrafting guild. Also, a couple of little fixes for the HTML5 engine. That's always nice to see. Oh, and there used to be an issue that was fixed this week pertaining to the minimap. Some people had this weird problem where when you'd enter a new area, you'd have portions of your minimap being black. So this has largely been around since the new interface system, and this has been fixed. So that's good.
Yay!
That's all I got on the patch notes. You have anything you do want to mention there?
No, you said basically everything.
Alrighty. So the polling update. Elder God Quest, researching the Elder God, still in the lead. Tell us about the Diamond Bowl.
The Diamond One. Diamond One is but quest difficulty. How do you judge quest to be difficult? 21% that said that combat makes the quest difficult. However, people, a majority, say skill and quest requirements should be the most difficult part of the quest. I actually said it was about a story.
Oh, okay.
I voted for the story.
Why'd you choose that?
Because if you don't care about the story, you're just doing the damn thing and skipping everything. It's like one small favor. I skipped so much dialogue.
Okay. You know, I don't agree with combat difficulty being the sole reason as to, you know, what's an important indicator of how difficult the quest, or what it rather should be classified as. Skill and quest requirements is up there, but you also need to look at story significance as well. Are we having a quest that is going to be changing the world on such a huge level? And if that's the case, it really should be called a Grandmaster. But on the same side of the coin, I think you and I can both say that the Elder Kiln quest, that was, or what was that one called? What was the one that you had trouble with when EOC came out in the Tazar Volcano?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you have
a
quest...
Oh, I know which one it was.
What was it?
I can't remember the name. I remember what it was. Had trouble fighting that stupid boss at the end.
Yeah. So, you have a quest that's difficult in terms of combat, but its storyline is just getting started. I mean, okay, maybe you can't call that a Grandmaster, because there's no real storyline and there's no huge revelations coming from it. Whereas on the other side of the coin, you have things like The World Wakes, which was moderately difficult in terms of combat, but the outcome of that quest was so profound that The World Wakes, in my view, should be a Grandmaster quest. And there are other quests out there. I think the Void quest was one of them. That had the classification of Grandmaster because of it was the final one in the storyline, but it just doesn't seem like the Void are that important of a group of creatures on RuneScape, if you know what I mean. So I'm kind of torn as to which one, you know, really should be the sole determining factor for this. And I mean, it would be nice if there was a way to choose multiple options here, but I don't think there is. And that's really the best way of doing it, is a combination between skill, quest requirements, and story significance, and combat difficulty to a lesser degree. That's my take on it, anyways.
Okay. Next up, we also have the minimap icon update. So, I guess it won't be an update if it goes through, more of a revisit. So, either turn them back, which is winning at 67%, or they're good as they are. And I guess they're not as good as they are.
Yeah, which one? Do you want the old ones back, or?
I say keep it, but I guess I'm out of the majority, so, yeah, Anyway, really not much to say about this. Either you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
Move on.
And the problem with the current setting minimaps and icons is they look great when you're just looking at the icon on its own. But the thing that it seems was skipped on the designer's mind is that the minimap is such a small portion of the screen. And you're seeing these icons all grouped together. And now these icons all have the same background. And what it seems is that the actual part of the icon that tells what the thing is small and insignificant compared to the background image and the border of the icon. So maybe a redesign of these icons would have been an effect. Because looking back at the old icons compared to the new ones, the old ones, yes, we all know what they are, but those icons have been around since 2004. They're low detail, and, you know, they're just not as great as what the current game is. So I would have preferred a middle ground on this one in terms of redesigning the current icons, you know, to have bigger actual icon and less background and less border. And make them more intuitive to how the older ones used to be as well. But it looks like we're going back to the old ones. All right. So we're going on the road again, this time to the Elf City. What do you make of this?
Wow. Okay. I don't know what to think, honestly.
Yeah, because,
it's a
you know,
bit overwhelming.
Yeah, we're finally getting close to that, and we got a membership package pertaining to this. So this is kind of like a Premier Club Lite sort of thing, and Gold Premier Club members do get all the benefits of this same package as if you were to just buy it today.
Too.
So that's nice. Basically, you can get 25% discount on purchasing membership through this, only going to be available for 6 weeks. Or you can pay through five bonds as well. So that's an option.
Yes. And Gold Premier Club members and those who have had 12 consecutive months of membership will get the aura, and the amulet automatically for free.
Yeah, that's good. We got a question about that later, so we'll leave the politics of this update to then. So let's just talk about the amulet and aura right now. So you get this aura. I believe it's called enrichment, or what is it?
Enlightenment aura.
Enlightenment, right. Enrichment is the dung divination one. There I go again. But basically what you do is this crystal amulet offers you some bonus experience into skills that can be used once a day. And these crystal amulets also give the chance of getting what are called crystal motherlode shards, which we'll first be getting today when skilling or fighting. You'll receive one of these, and you get them around once an hour. They have no current use, but they're worth keeping as they'll be used once Priftina's opens. And get this, when skilling or fighting, you can receive an Elder Seed.
Ooh, ah.
Yeah, so this is going to be high level farming, 83 farming, so definitely going to be wearing this amulet around on my neck for this part. Now let's talk about the aura, because the aura actually gives you 2 hours of bonus XP per week.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do so much summoning.
Yeah. I ran the numbers on this, and 2 hours of bonus XP a week for 12 weeks is 24 hours of bonus XP, which is half of a bonus XP weekend. So it's not too bad, but It's definitely lots more bonus XP, I think, than we're accustomed to. Because I think practically everything in-game can benefit from this. I'm not sure if the usual suspects of Ecto and player-owned House Altars will be exempt. But
I doubt it.
Yeah, just imagine what you can do with all this. Because in using this, your regular bonus XP is suspended. So let's say you just want to do summoning every day. There you go. Or every week, rather. There you go. Done. It's a nice update, and I mean, I don't know. Do you prefer bonus XP weekends, or you know, like this way of dealing it out gradually?
I don't know. I would say I like to have the bonus XP one weekend. I think the reason with this is that like, I think with this one is when you have a bonus on a weekend, a lot of things shoot up in price. Usually, everyone try to flogs everything at the right time to maximize profit. Mm-hmm. With this one, there's really no set date. It's just you know, it's happening in summer, but not everybody's going to be doing it at the exact same time.
Yeah.
So for those who like to sell stuff, I was planning on selling a ton of herbs when next bonus XP weekend was going to come out, but I guess I won't be. Not for a while, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just goes to speak towards bonus XP in general, but I'll talk a bit about that later. All right. Moving on from that, Elf City Design Document 3 featuring the next two Elven clans. The first one, of course, featuring Traharn, I guess that's how you say that, which is mining and smithing, and the woodcutting and farming experts, Kriris. So, let's talk about this for a little bit. What jumps out at you initially?
How come it didn't work?
What didn't work?
Oh, no, I was clicking on the wrong one. That's why.
Okay.
There we go.
I mean, okay. So this is kind of typical as to what we've been seeing for the last 2 weeks. Very high level things. So it starts off by saying rune mining spots, addy mining spots, coal mining spots, and gem mining spots, plus the additional Saren stones, which are the player chips away at them, and then you get to the crystal. The crystals drop down a trap door, and 70 lots of mining XP will be offered before it drops in. No mining ore is produced when chipping away at the rock. It's similar to Ivy, and the mining XP rate will be the highest in the game. There's also level 89 smithing. Saren stones will also put a stackable and untradeable corruption in the player's inventory. This drops in one-third of all successful mines and can be taken to an anvil, where they can be smithed for no end product for smithing XP.
Hmm.
I think.
Oh, that means they'll kill the. They'll kill the. That was a lava one. What's the one where you get the goldish mining armor? In Dwarf City.
I want to say the lava flow mine. Does that sound right?
There we go. Lava flow. This will kill lava flow.
Yeah, and I mean, Lava Flow has always been mid-level, so it's fine to have this as higher level. Pickpocketing, level 92 thieving, and I mean, it's going to be the same sort of thing. What?
Oh, I just got 92 thieving. Yay!
Yeah. Rare pickpocket items will include concentrated ore, dragon stones, and more. That looks good. Not much else to say on the mining and smithing part. I want to move on to the farming and woodcutting part, but that's just me. So anything you want to say
really?
on the mining and smithing part?
Let's go to your farming and woodcutting part. It's fine. Let's go. Come on.
All right. So in this part, there's going to be 8 choking ivy plants or branches or whatever that you want to call them to chop, 5 magic trees, 5 yew trees, Of course, they'll also drop crystal geodes. We'll also get access to another herb farming patch. So that makes for 6 herb farming patches in total. An elder tree farming patch for level 90 farming, which of course uses the elder tree seeds. And that's the rare pickpocketing reward and found rarely in bird's nests. So that's always nice. We also got another spirit tree spot. So we're going to have a third spirit tree location that we can plant. And of course, pickpocketing NPCs for level 98 thieving.
Are you allowed to have all three spirit trees at one time?
Yep, this is going to be the third one here. So,
yeah, so we have fairy ring, regular teleport, lodestone teleport, spirit tree, and other methods. Probably crystal teleport there too, and a bunch of portals, I think, from the first one. So literally, this is every single instant getting your butt to the city thereof in just one city.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fine if we're going to be able to grow our own spirit tree. If the spirit tree is not going to be there by default, that's perfectly fine. Because I know when they first mentioned it, it sounded like everything was going to be provided at the very beginning. So I like this way of doing it. It's a little vague, this document, I think, compared to other documents, specifically last week's and the first one. There's also going to be the Saren God statue, and yeah, but I'm very happy about the extra farming patches I'm going to be getting. And one thing has been sitting in my mind a little bit recently, and I don't know if this is something to be worried about or if maybe I'm just expecting things to be a little bit different than they are, but it seems as though that this Elf City is primarily going to be acting as a place for higher levels to do things that you can already do in-game, except with a couple of added benefits here and there. Which is fine, but I was expecting it to be maybe be a little bit more special. So, I mean, that's just my thoughts. And granted, we've only seen 3 out of the 5 documents, but over time, it's going to provide a good picture as to what this place is going to look like. And I guess when you take the whole package deal plus the quest, that's when we're really going to be able to start talking about how good this place is going to be.
Okay.
But that's all I got to say about this design document, unless you have anything else you want
to... From what I'm reading here, we're going to be rebuilding. We're going to be rebuilding the Elf City. I don't know what happened to it. I'm assuming... Well, they kind of mentioned it in the beginning that you'll be putting this together, putting the city together in the video. I think what happened during the battle and all this stuff. Remember, they're in a civil war. You remember when all those time of regicide and everything else, they're having a little civil war. That's why King Tyrus is over there for one reason or another. It'll be interesting if we get to meet him.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, if you don't have anything else to add on that, let us move on to the next part, which is the behind-the-scenes video and article for June 2014. So.
Okay.
Tell everyone what you told me before we started here.
What did I say? Let's see.
About legacy mode.
Are we switching to the old interface?
That's what legacy mode's gonna be.
Oh no, they show victory videos later on where they change it back to what it is now.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. You're going to be able to change back and forth. And this implies we're going to be seeing the beta in June, maybe early July if things get held back. Now, I want to highlight what I'm going to highlight, what I've been highlighting for every beta over the past year. And that is... that you get this beta in your hands, you need to make sure that you treat it as such in that A, you're not going to be constantly providing poor negative feedback that is detrimental to the game itself. And secondly, you need to make sure that if you don't like the way it looks, you take that rage inside of you and apply it in a positive fashion so that we don't end up having to redo this whole thing 2 years down the line. You know what I'm talking about. So mm-hmm. I'm always leery of that when the beta comes around because it seems as though, I mean, the RuneScape player base is great and everything, but it just feels as, you know, like we had this happen with the combat beta and to a lesser degree with the new interface beta. So we just need a way to, as I said before, really control the beta process to make sure that the right feedback is getting back to the developers and that it's not a whole rage-induced fest on the forums. So let's just keep that in mind as we move into June and see if that beta comes out. But there's going to be a quest this month dealing with the fall of Bandos and who's going to replace him. And that's going to be, of course, the quest that Yelps is going to take part in.
Poor guy. Remember what we said before? Oh, yeah, he'd make it murdered in this one day, wouldn't he? Think about it. Remember how much the community didn't like him? We're going to get murdered. What were we thinking? Like, throw him against the wall, stab him, steal him?
Yeah, I don't know. I was the one that said, let him retire peacefully, so.
I remember what I wrote, what I voted for.
But this quest is going to be unveiling a brand new two-handed melee weapon. It's going to require 79 attack strength, constitution defense, and 69 slayer. The chosen commander, missing presumed death, my arm's big adventure, and defeating Bork. I'm sorry, that's constitution 78 and defense 72.
Okay.
And skill Chompas, so basically Chin Chompas for training skills. So you're going to be able to, capture them with the hunting skill and then throw them at the very specific mining, fishing, woodcutting, and divination plots. So this is interesting, is that, you know, it'll provide a new way of training Hunter and everything. And speeding up other skills as well, which really, I guess, improves Hunter's reach into the game because Hunter still seems like an underdeveloped skill, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you're killing. Think of the porch and Chompas, man. You're tossing them into a tree to the ocean.
If those porch and Chompas weren't designed to, you know, blow up when they hit something, then they wouldn't have that problem.
But it's not their fault they were. They evolved to blow themselves up and try and save their friends and family. You know how many crazy. You know how many unstupid level 3 noobs try to catch them and they have to blow up because they're trying to save their little boy? It's not fair.
Look at the face of the Chompa. Maybe that'll make you feel better.
Alright, bad feelings over. Let's go.
Alright, that's it for RS News this week. We're going to move on to questions now. First one is an audio question from the RR Man.
Da, 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 da. Oh, hello, Shane and Tricky. Didn't see you there. Time for some questions, I guess. Now, I'm just having a quick look over the news, trying to figure out what I'm going to ask you. First off, Boom bought that 25% off membership special deal with all the amulets straight away, got right on that. Do you think it's a bit OP? You know, did we really need two items? Maybe just one? I don't know. Anyway, secondly, speaking of OP, I noticed, I'm sure everyone has, they're doing one bloody treasure hunter thing a week. Like a new one every weekend. I thought they said they were going to stop that. It's kind of really getting on my nerves, especially that last week, that protein bars. You could buy experience. You basically clicked it and sat there. I walked off, did my dishes for 5 minutes, came back, it was still bloody doing it. I don't know about you, but some of the stuff, I guess they make some money from the Treasure Hunter keys, but some of the stuff is a bit BS, if I'm being honest. Have a good one, guys. Peace out.
All right, this is your baby.
Well, I mean, two items or one, I don't know. It's all the cell membership at the end of the day, and in my view, it's really nice of them to give this same perk to the Gold Premier Club members and people who have held membership for the last 12 months at least. They could have easily said, no, you need to rebuy this package and extend your membership for 3 months, or you just need to rebuy this package to get this, even if you don't have Premier Club. So, we gotta be thankful that that didn't happen, first off, and what they did seems like the really sane option in just giving it to everybody who is truly viable and has been around for that long. So, I don't see any problem with that, and I'll speak to bonus XP now, I guess, unless you want to chime in on the two items first.
No, no, you go ahead. I don't have nothing to say about about it.
Okay. Well, in terms of Treasure Hunter items in general, protein bars, protein planks, portable ranges, portable anvils, that sort of thing, that is the beast of microtransactions. And as I've said many times before, RuneScape is a game that still is largely not reliant on microtransactions in order to be successful, which many people will, you know, thank yourselves for. Because there are other games out there where it's increasingly painful in order to get anything decent, where you need to actually put money into the game or grind forever to achieve things. So we really need to have that in mind when looking into protein bars and all those other sorts of things like that, is that they're not huge bonuses that are, you know, tipping the balance of players in terms of people who pay extra and those who don't. So I honestly don't think it's too bad right now, and there are people, purists out there, who will disagree with that and say, you know, it really is horrible that there are even microtransactions in the game. But that's just the general market of gaming these days, and pretty much the market online in general is a freemium type model. Or, in case of Jagex, you pay for your, you know, membership or whatever, and then you end up with a little added benefit at the end of the day. But when it comes down to it, the main problem with Treasure Hunter these days isn't these little one-off type promotions. It's all the bonus XP that's coming into the game daily through the Fallen Stars and whatnot. I was just laughing to myself last night. I currently have enough bonus XP to get to 97 summoning and only use half the ingredients. Soon I'm going to have enough to get to 98 and do the same thing. So we got to ask ourselves, is through Fallen Stars, is that really what the intent was to make the higher level tiers in the game, 96, 95 plus, a point where you can just, you know, bank bonus XP daily off the Squeal of Fortune, then when it comes time to cash in, you can only do half the work and get that. So, I don't know. My main issue now is with bonus XP, but I'm going to use it while I have the advantage of using it.
Okay. Anything else?
All right. Nothing from you?
No, I was very sad when I found out bonus XP from all the treasure hunters doesn't do squat with Ekdo. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily for me, though, I found out Bone Crusher works with many other bones that was just normal and big bones. So I was like, hallelujah. So I have my own little way. Dungeoneering doors that have need to use prayer to open are still good for me.
Oh, that's good. Alrighty. Thank you, RR Man. You can take the next question.
Okay. Next question. Okay. Next question is from QWC. Hey, guys. I'm back once again. My question is about membership deals. How do you guys feel about membership deals, like the summer one or the one that goes for a year and have other benefits with it? How do you feel about paying it for bonds? Love the show, keep up the work. We like the bonds.
Yeah, bonds are great. And as I said in the previous question, membership deals like this, they're good when they come around. And as I said, it's nice that they extended the benefit to people who haven't purchased them. But I think paying for bonds with it, or paying by bonds, is great. Like, let's say you have this huge amount of GP in game you don't know what to do with. Buy bonds, you can purchase this membership package. Easy, all done, right? And another good thing that bonds have enabled us to do is do the odd giveaway where we can give away GP, membership, or spins, or rune coins, or treasure hunter keys, I mean. And it enabled us to do that in a way that's secure and fast. So we really like that aspect. And third, they squashed real-world trading. So all in all, we like bonds, don't we?
Yeah, we like bonds. I am a gold premier membership person just because I'll save a little bit every year from the game. That's just basically it. You know, the deal's good. Everyone has deals once in a while. I mean, people usually don't want to pay full price for anything nowadays. And so, you know, look outside. There's a sale going on. A week ago, it wasn't. You know, buyer beware.
Yeah, and like I said, it all comes down to creating a feeling of summer around RuneScape, slanting towards the Elven City. So at the end of the day, it all works towards that. And if you can purchase that with bonds, that's all the better. Alrighty, the next one is from Kyle. So, what do you think will come from the invention skill as far as what weapons, armor, and skill-related items?
I don't know. I really don't know. We're just going to be using all the energy, so that's basically it.
Yeah. I want to say this is where we'll find level 95 plus type weapons for the various skills is through invention, relying on other weapons that we already have as first type of ingredients. Also, in the invention skill, it was rumored that the level 92 handed weapon was going to be coming out with that, but it might come out sooner now since invention has been put off until 2015 because of the poll prioritizing the Elf City. So there's two of them right there. Other things that Jagex have said they wanted to do was the ability to create truly unique weapons and armor with various special effects and whatnot. So that will come from an invention. Essentially, invention will be the secondary skill to divination, where the Godless faction is using invention to create interesting weapons, interesting technology to fight against the gods. So you can think of invention as essentially the engineering skill, as in maybe, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it's akin to the United States developing the atomic bomb in World War II. You could maybe use invention to develop a weapon like that against the gods at some point. Another thing that I think could come with invention would be not as supreme as having level 95 and 99 weapon equipment, but also moving towards weapons and tools in RuneScape like hatchets, pickaxes, etc. that level up with you. So let's say you take a standard dragon pickaxe or dragon hatchet, you infuse it with some energy and some other secondary that we're not aware of yet, and you get this hatchet that levels up with you as you cut wood with it, and it becomes more powerful as you move on. So this hatchet that was deemed to be useless at, say, level 70 woodcutting is now useful into the 80s and 90s and so on to help you with your woodcutting efforts. And, you know, the same thing was said towards items that are relatively cheap and really don't have any use, so all the secondaries from skills like crafting and smithing that nobody wants, those will be usable in an invention as well.
Yeah. Okay, I don't really have much to say about invention. I'll just wait till that comes out. I'm not going to speculate.
Yeah,
Get
and
that too much.
I mean, it's going to be an interesting skill nonetheless, and it does need to come out at some point because having high-level divination and all this energy, really, I mean, you can do things with divination right now, but what we can do is just going to be the tip of the iceberg. Alrighty, well, all right. I think that sums us up for questions. So if you want to send in an audio question like the RR man did, you can email it to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate.
All right, and we have tech news now, don't we?
Yes. This one looks interesting, doesn't it?
Microsoft demons. Woo!
Microsoft
demons? Do we
need
an exorcist?
What?
I swear I saw demons when your little text thing.
Demo! I don't know where... yeah, I don't know where your head is, but...
Well, we did talk about demons earlier. That's what'll be the show title, one way or another.
Yes!
There you go. You don't have to worry about it after this, don't you?
Yeah, so Microsoft Demons breakthrough in real-time translated conversation. So this is a universal translator.
And, okay.
So basically, there's a video here of this being demoed with the CEO of Microsoft and the head of Skype, where he talks to somebody in Germany who is speaking pure German, and he's speaking English, and it's just normal Skype, and when he talks, there's a little bit of a delay, and then the person is shown translated English, and then he is shown German translated into English once it gets back. So the idea is that you're going to be able to talk to people who are speaking different languages and have that language barrier go away to a degree. Which is something people have been working for a long time in terms of computing.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why this is such a big breakthrough?
Because Google has been trying this for years with YouTube and failing miserably.
Yeah, that's partially why. I know what you're referring to. You're probably referring to those translations of YouTube videos where it shows a transcript, right?
Or attempts to show one.
Yeah, and it gets it horribly wrong. There was only one tiny error in this, and I was very impressed. And this goes back to what I said a couple of weeks back about how, you know, Microsoft has the vision with everything, but they don't have the implementation. This was amazing to see. I highly recommend everybody go watch this video. It's about 6 minutes long, and what you end up doing is you get a glimpse into what the preview of interacting with people could actually be like. So I could phone up someone in Russia and start talking to them, and it would translate it to me right away. Right now it only works for a couple of languages, but that's definitely going to go away in the future as a roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
And this really just shows what Microsoft can do as a company and shows why purchasing Skype is such a good thing for Microsoft to have done.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, nonetheless, have a look at this and see how it works. And the real amazing part is that computers don't understand natural language. You can put natural language into a computer, like we could put this text or the audio of this podcast into a computer right now, but it wouldn't know what to do with it or how it would make sense.
Hmm.
And that's the problem with computers, is natural language computing.
Yeah, that's why Siri, that's why people throw their phones, because Siri doesn't understand.
I've never had any problems with Siri, actually.
I didn't say you.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe people with thick accents might. You want to give us another one of those demonstrations?
Oi, laddie. Guess what today is? That's right. They got my sandwich. You suck, Shane. All right, let's go.
All right, moving on from that. Next up, Google is offering people in Europe the right to be forgotten.
Okay.
So Europeans have a high sense of privacy compared to the rest of the world. So as a result, Google has created a website, a form, where you can fill in this thing that says, okay, here's a web address. This relates to me. I don't want this showing up in Google search because it shows personal info or violates my privacy. So Google is allowing that to happen in Europe, I guess primarily related to European courts unveiling a ruling earlier in the year. So I don't know. You think something like this will ever come to our neck of the woods?
Could be. Oh, I can't see.
I mean, it's a complicated process. You need to include your name, email address, photo ID, and explain how the page is related to them and why the search result is irrelevant, outdated, or otherwise inappropriate.
Well, you know how if you delete a picture, it doesn't really go away. It stays there. You know, people could have done something really stupid in the past and just want to get rid of it. And also, you know, there are times when people are losing. What was it that happened? Like, you know, try to delete a picture or something. It's still there all over the internet. It's really gone somewhere there. That's why Facebook had an issue a couple years back.
And even like if you even generate a web page or something and you put images up on that web page and Google manages to cache them, who knows how long they're going to be in Google's cache for. So there's that, and, you know, the social networking images, Twitter, Facebook, as you mentioned, as well. So, I don't know. For me, I see it both ways. It goes contrary to the internet as well. But if people, you know, have some result or something that appears on them, you might want to get rid of it so people can find you. So. I don't know. I don't know if I want something like that, and I don't know why I'm on the fence. You have any ideas?
You don't want to delete, get rid of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, and at the same time, I mean, it kind of makes sense if you're having a problem on the internet and there's a web page that's not exactly about you that's always floating around, so... I don't know. It's a tough street because if you get lots of people doing this, you're essentially sucking out of Google what makes it great. But at the same time, you're offering the service to people who want it to be safe and secure. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't split it either way. But anyways, we're going to move on to something that's a bit more, was a bit surprising this week. Have you ever heard of TrueCrypt?
Yeah, you sent that to me once, a file to me once using that.
I did?
Yes, Armada.
Oh, right. Okay.
Although I kind of deleted it, though.
Oh. Well, basically, TrueCrypt is a way of encrypting things that prevents other people from seeing it along the way and basically randomizes anything that you encrypt, hard drives, file containers, etc. And this week, the TrueCrypt website disappeared. It disappeared with a list of instructions encouraging people to migrate from TrueCrypt to Microsoft's built-in solution in Windows called BitLocker. And this is very bizarre because, in general, the accepted idea is that if something is open source, as TrueCrypt was, everybody can see the source code, everyone can verify that it's not doing anything malicious, everyone can also verify that there are no backdoors built into it. So the question is, why would they offer BitLocker as a solution to encrypting data when you can't even see what BitLocker's doing, right? Well, it turns out that the TrueCrypt developers just got tired. They don't want to maintain TrueCrypt anymore. They published TrueCrypt 7.1, which is currently being security audited, and TrueCrypt 7.2, being the last version, was officially signed by them and does have a warning to migrate off of it. So basically, the consensus is that TrueCrypt is finished. TrueCrypt does what it's supposed to do. TrueCrypt doesn't need any further features. By adding further features, we're maybe compromising the security of it if we were to bring new developers on or something like that. But at the end of the day, the current version works for what it's needed to do. And we're going to probably hear more from them in the future about this, but I just thought I'd bring this up here in case anybody wanted to know what exactly was going on with this. I think it's perfectly fine to keep using TrueCrypt, and if you have files and volumes that are created using it, just make sure you don't lose that passcode, because that's the only way you can recover it, and just keep a TrueCrypt binary around and you should be fine. Yeah, so that's a bit of a security-related tech news. We'll probably know more next week once more information surfaces, but nonetheless, a very abrupt thing that happened.
Anyway, skill of the month for May is wrapping up today in about a couple hours, and Yeah, what the heck did he do? So Shane, you think this is going to be close?
No. I think this is one month where you can actually you call in your defibrillators and you know fix the flatline if possible.
Well, yeah, that ain't happening. Too much flatline. Anyway, so Plethroskite so far is winning with over 30 million XP gained in Slayer. Second place is JSB Rules 2 at 1.7 million. So it's almost a 29 to 1 difference, isn't it? Okay, and anyway, what's up?
Let me just say that Blethorskite has effectively doubled his Slayer XP.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, June skill of the month is going to be defense. So have fun with that.
And I just want to say to everybody that I'm sorry for the amount of combat skill of the months we've had this year. We've had January attack, March prayer, April ranged, May slayer, June defense. That's just the way random number generation works. There's really nothing I can do about that. So it's just been really odd that we've been seeing these skill of the months pop up like that. So I just hope that nobody is scared away from doing a defense skill of the month because of this.
All right. So, yeah, good luck training defense. Next couple of days. Next month or so. Keep in mind, we are looking for informer writers. Please, if you're interested, please apply. There will be a link to the show notes if you want to see, or you can go to our main site and come on in.
Update.rsbnb.com for the show notes, or rsbnb.com/forums for the application topic.
All right.
You want me to talk about supplemental?
Go.
Okay. So this week, another episode of RSBNB Update Supplemental came out. This one pertaining to the meaning of Ashdale. Now, Ashdale on its own doesn't seem like really something that people need to take note of. But Ashdale is important for three reasons, and I get into these into the supplemental. And this actually came from a discussion that we had on the show last week. I forget what we were talking about, but it finally clicked as to what Ashdale is trying to do, and it just made perfect sense right after that. So I highly encourage everyone to watch this on YouTube. If you like it, subscribe, of course.
Okay, let's go. Give it a try.
Yep.
All right, so anyway, you have a pick of the week, don't you, for us, Jane?
Yeah, I do. I figured I'd go for another pick of the week. I'm actually starting to have a backlog of picks that I want to talk about. So, but I implore all other hosts of this podcast not to get complacent in not having picks of the week, just, you know, because I have more. But anyways, that's just a bit of a PSA out there for anyone who might be hosting the show in the future. But this pick of the week is an iPhone and Android game. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago when we last had Earth on, he used a pick called 2048, which was a web game. Basically, it's a game where you combine numbers and you're attempting to get to 2048 at the end. That's your ultimate end goal. So there is actually a different version of that game. 2048 is the copy of this game that I'm going to be talking about in today's pick. The game I'm going to be talking about is called Threes. Rather than 2048, it's based on the number 3. And you start off with primaries of 1 and 2 rather than 2s and just trying to combine yourself to get 2048. Threes is harder than 2048, and threes is also better designed than 2048 is. Threes is available, as I said, on both the iTunes App Store and the Android market. It's about $2 on each place, so it's really not too bad. And it is actually worth paying the extra price for that application, and here's why. As I said, it's the original copy, and it's just a better designed game, and it's more challenging than 2048 actually is. So if you enjoyed 2048, I would recommend you have a look at Threes, and you might be able to hear it in the background right now. That's what I got going, but just give it a try and see what your high score can be. The main reason I chose it is because I feel that it is unfair that 2048 is getting all the attention out there. Meanwhile, Threes is not, when Threes was the original game. And there was a whole huge long development process for creating Threes. It wasn't something that was just created overnight as a simple copy. It was actually an original design process in an attempt to create a numbers game that wasn't an ordinary numbers game out there. So credit needs to be given where credit is due, in my opinion. So that's why I highly recommend everybody who likes 2048 to try Threes. Even though you do have to pay for it, it is worth it, in my opinion, just because it's a better game. So that's it. 2048, or I mean Threes, the first version of 2048.
Okay.
Available on the App Store and Google Play. So, what you been doing this week? Well, we know already.
you go first.
All right. Hi. This week, on RS, primarily just been doing divination and getting back into the farming runs. That's always something that's fun to do for me. And aside from that, just been really taking advantage of the added missions in player-owned ports and attempting to finish off the joint storyline that will give me a good amount of plate before the month ends, which is, I'm not optimistic that I'll be able to do that now, seeing as I've failed this one mission, I think, 3 times now, attempting to complete it. So that's really what I've been trying to do, and I don't think I'll get it in time for when the bonus trade good mission rewards end. So that's pretty much what I've been up to. And we should have something very interesting to talk about next week if everything goes as planned. All right, you're up.
I can hear that.
Yeah. Sounds good, doesn't it?
I've been working like crazy past week. Just got through the holiday, and I did nothing but dungeoneering all week long.
Yeah, I know you mentioned Seriously. That. You said you were going to binge on it, and I didn't know if what you meant, but obviously we know that. So tell us what you did.
Well, yeah, so literally it was, I thought it started on the weekend. So I started doing dungeoneering on Saturday. I was like, then I realized, man. So anyway, Monday, I had all my warps floors left, and that's when the bonus token started. Did my sinkhole, at least I tried doing my sinkholes every day. I finished warp on Monday, reset, did all my C1s, did all my abandons on Monday. On Tuesday, I did some of the occults, finished up on Wednesday. And then I did some more on Wednesday, and then yesterday, I finished every single warp floor and I reset. And that's when I spent the coin tokens. So literally, I was in dungeoneering every single night. I drove Shane nuts.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but you kept asking me, do you want to do this? No. You want to do this? No. You want to come with us? No. You want to do this? No. You want to do that? No. What are you doing? Dungeoneering. So, yeah.
Anything else? I did.
Anything else? I managed to get today 92 smithing, 95 summoning. I got to 109 dungeoneering. And Mike was making fun of me, asking me why I did not get 120 dungeoneering. I said, "You're a jerk." And yeah, that it. I did nothing but dungeoneering all week. I have one very good group who did see once with that I got it done in 40 minutes. That's never happened before. Well, the reason it took so long because we had some bosses that actually needed time to kill. And one group who were complete idiots and trying to tell me what to do when I was the highest engineering level. One group who do nothing but having a B&Ming the whole time over every little thing that someone did. And then I had one group that got me killed 4 times because they didn't know how to fight Blink. So I had to teach them how to fight Blink, but they wouldn't listen to me.
And that is why I dislike dungeoneering. I just don't have the patience for that sort of thing.
Yeah, Blink is one of the harder bosses because you don't know what you're doing. You'll kill everyone. Which they did. He killed a lot of people there. I like the guy who was saying he doesn't know what he's doing. He's guessing. Don't guess. He got me killed. He's like, stay outside. Everybody, I told everyone, I literally had everyone stay outside. Let me do it. When I say come in, you come in. And after that, I taught them, you stand here, you stand there, you see this, check the map, do this, do that. That's how you kill it. Don't guess. Guessing gets people killed, a.k.a. me.
Yeah, that must be annoying. Well, I'm glad you were able to sort that out.
All right.
Well, that pretty much does it for this week's RSBNB update. As you can tell, Threes is a very interesting and addictive game, and it's got more playability, I think, than 2048 does, so that's always nice. But if you want to always see more of what we're doing this week or even chat with us, just be sure to follow the RSBNB account on Twitter at RSBNBstaff, and one of us will chat with you, and we're always interested to hear what people are doing in RuneScape and what you think of the updates as they come out. So do that, and we will see you guys all next week. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Peace out.